Thanks a lot for stopping by. Look, this is an historic interview for my money because these two guys, the last time they saw each other, I think the last time they said a syllable to each other was about 37 years ago in a court in New York, in the Southern District of New York. It is Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, the former U.S. attorney from the Southern District, also a former associate attorney general for Ronald Reagan. And we all know Rudy Giuliani. He's the guy. And also Michael Franzese, the former defendant in that case, a former COPPA regime for the Colombo crime family in New York. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming together on this.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, guys.
It's almost like the start of a joke. Three Italian guys sit down for an interview. You know what I mean? So it's interesting because I interview both of you a lot, and I like both of you a lot, and I think that your stories are amazing. And Rudy, I was telling Michael this before we even started today. The reason why this came together and why this is happening is that I brought him up to you, and you said, "How's he doing?" Instead of saying that SOB, instead of saying that piece of garbage, you said, "How's he doing today?" You know, I believe in redemption. Fill me in on that if you don't mind. Let's start from that. We'll go back to the 1980s.
First of all, having, you know, prosecuted so many cases, they never were personal. They were all professional. Some of the people I prosecuted, whether they were organized crime or white collar crime, or some of them were nice people who just happened to be involved in that awful kind of business.
Yeah.
Some of them were horrible people. There was no reason ever to get personal unless they did something personal to me. And second, I watched Michael's transformation from afar, you know, read about it. When somebody says something like that, you always wonder, I'm going to turn my back on it. I'm going to reform. I'm going to change. Half the time it's true and half the time it's not true.
Right.
And so you have to have a little skepticism, but you never have to give up hope. And then when I saw over a period of years that this is real, I was very impressed because it's a hard thing to do. It doesn't matter if we're talking about putting aside the mafia or putting aside insider trading or putting aside the people you pay bribes with or whatever the hell the crime is.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard to put that, to change your personality so you're not impelled to do it. I mean, how many people did I put in jail? And, you know, a year later, they're back doing the same thing.
Right. And when I interviewed Rudy, Michael, I showed you the video because I asked Rudy, "Hey, have you got a message for him?" And I showed it to you, and you genuinely seemed surprised.
Well, I was, but, you know, I do remember, too, you know, back when, you know, I did walk away from the life and things were starting to change for me. A lot of law enforcement people kind of weighed in on it and they said they didn't believe it. And I was pulling the wool over the government's eyes. But Rudy, you may not remember this, but they asked you, and it's in an interview. And you said, you know, "I believe it might be sincere. You know, Michael's a fairly smart guy. He knows what's going on. And I think it might be sincere." So even way back then, you know, you had something nice to say. And that I really appreciated that back then.
What blows?
Well, you know,
go ahead.
And I was exactly, that's exactly right. I mean, exactly what I'm saying now. When somebody, first of all, it's unusual for somebody to really say something like that. And you said it in a more, powerful way than a lot of people say it. But again, could be acting. But there's also no reason to cut off the possibility. I mean, it does happen. It does. I mean, I know people going way back before Michael, because I'm so darn old. You know, there were drug addicts and even drug dealers who got out of jail, got over it, and they had very, very good lives and families. And then I know people who wasted their lives away. So.
Well, you said a line to me, Rudy. You said, "I believe in redemption." And it's not that I didn't think that you did. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and we've been friends now for several years. I feel like you believe in the goodness in people, but as the U.S. attorney in the Southern District, possibly and probably the most important district in the country, do you believe in redemption as you're trying him, or you worry about that later?
You worry about it later. worry about it later.
Right.
During the investigation and the trial, it's all single-minded, right? You've got to catch the person. And sometimes you'll pick up vibrations about them that tell you they're really terrible people, or they're not. I mean, with mafia people, I would listen to a lot of tapes, and I could kind of tell the ones who liked committing murder and the ones who didn't.
Right.
Now, that's not much of a distinction for the person who gets killed, but it does tell you a little something about the person.
Yeah.
And I could tell the insider traders who really enjoyed the game of just being a cheat. And then those who did it because they were desperate and needed money, or they were too embarrassed to say they were losing money. It was almost ego more than criminality. So you get to know people.
But when you're convicted,
you can't start thinking about redeeming.
Absolutely. Well, when you're in the courtroom, you want to win. Michael, when you're in the courtroom, you want to win. And in this one, you did. And we'll get into that in a bit. But when you're sitting across the way from Rudy Giuliani, he's your enemy. He's the guy that you want to beat in court. What's the mindset from your table, from the defendant's table?
Well, you know, back then, especially, you know, I had a whole different, you know, view of law enforcement. You know, you got to understand, Joe, I grew up, you know, with my dad, who was very high profile figure. I love my dad. He was my idol growing up. And all I ever saw was law enforcement coming after him. You know, what we considered harassing our family. You know, my dad used to put things into my head about law enforcement. So I grew up hating law enforcement. So they were my enemy from birth.
Right.
And so I'm sitting across a defense table. I'm not liking anybody. You know, I don't want to like them, you know, in any way. I just want to beat them. I want to do everything that's possible. And that's the mentality that most of us had, maybe for different reasons. A lot of guys that grew up on the street, they just didn't like law enforcement because they were street guys. You know, so you're always trying to win and at whatever cost, believe me.
It's MichaelFrenzies.com. That's his website, MichaelFrenzies.com. Rudy'sCommonSense.com. Go there, an incredible podcast and vodcast that Rudy puts on every day. It's Rudy Giuliani and Michael Frenzies. An historic conversation, and I'm glad that we're doing it. Let's go in the Wayback Machine. You're both from Brooklyn, New York. You're both Italian-American, right? You both grow up where your father is the dominant figure. Mine was, too, Mario Pagliarulo. And we look up to them, and we try to either emulate them or we try to learn from them. And you both sort of had the same vision, but Rudy, you decided your dad had made some mistakes and you would go a different way. Michael, you said, I want to be like my dad. Rudy, let me start with you. Am I right in how I characterized that? You looked at your dad and said, this is what I should do?
Right. I'll tell you, I lived in Brooklyn in Flatbush for 7 years. My father had gone to prison before I was born for armed robbery. He was running a bar and restaurant and then later pizza place. And he decided somewhere when I was about 5 or 6 that he had to get me out of Brooklyn because I had an older cousin who I admired very much and who was already beginning to get into trouble. And he said, no, I got to get you out of here. He told my mother that. I mean, I didn't know this until years later.
Right.
So he took me out of Brooklyn and then I ended up in the suburbs. I ended up in Garden City South in North Belmore. And then I got a scholarship to high school. And I think, but for that, I could be Michael or maybe a lot worse.
That's an interesting. By the way, my grandfather was the fire chief in Belmore, New York, just to let you know the circle that we're in.
Belmore.
Don Mealy.
8 years.
Yeah. So Michael, what about that? Did you know that Rudy's dad had that past and that he very easily probably could have been you?
No, not really. You know, the thing that I remember with Rudy, and I don't know, Rudy, I'd love to know if this is true or not, that, you know, you read the book that Joe Bonanno had wrote and that you were really incensed about that book, the way he, you know, categorized the mafia, which, by the way, a lot of guys on the street felt the same way. We thought it was ridiculous that he wrote a book like that.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
I'll tell you what happened. Michael, I was the associate attorney general, and I asked my boss and the president if they could demote me to being U.S. attorney in Manhattan because it was my dream job. I had been an assistant there. And while I was preparing to become U.S. attorney, I got briefed on all the cases that were going on. The FBI had a whole bunch of organized crime cases, but they were here and there, and they were all over the place. And then I read Joe Bonanno's book, which is an extremely arrogant book about how he really is like the head of state. And the commission is really like part of the UN. It's like the UN. It's all garbage. But in it, he did a complete outline of when the commission began back in the late 20s or 30s, who ran it then. And then he did a line of succession that broke off about 12 years earlier. Now, I had helped to write the RICO statute with Professor Blakey. And the minute I saw that, I said, thank you, Joe. You just gave me half of a RICO case. You just proved to me you're in the business of crime. So to simplify RICO, that's what RICO is. So if you go commit one robbery and it's a conspiracy. You do one drug deal. But if you are in the business of robbing banks with the same people over and over, or in the business of selling drugs, or in the business of extorting people, it's a RICO violation. Well, he just laid it all out. Now, he thought he was smart because it was all beyond the statute of limitations, but he never read the RICO statute. The RICO statute doesn't have a statute of limitations.
Right. For those who are watching, I just wanted to let people know, RICO is Racketeer Influenced and Corruption Organizations Act. And that act had been around for about 10 years, as I read it, Rudy, before you actually learned how to utilize it, because nobody really used it yet. Michael, if you don't mind, what were the families saying when Bonanno put the book out? I mean, he basically, as Rudy said, just telegraphed for law enforcement, here's what we're doing, here's how we're doing it, and screw you, you can't do anything about it. What did the family react? How did the family react?
Well, I'll tell you what they said, you know, and this is a little bit before my time, but, you know, Joe Bonanno was on the hit list. He was supposed to get killed.
Wow.
And they sent him out because he was a boss. They sent him out to Arizona and just said, keep quiet and don't bother us and stay away from us. And they gave him his life. And all I ever heard is we made a mistake. You know, this guy put us on blast, you know, by writing a stupid book like this. Everybody was upset about it. And then, of course, you know, Rudy just filled it in. He picked it up and started to run with the RICO Act. So it's even worse than we thought. You know what that book would cause. So, yeah, people were very upset with him about it. That's all I ever heard. Nothing but negative stuff.
But Rudy, I know that you helped write RICO. And again, it's Rudy Giuliani, Rudy's Common Sense. Go to his website, rudyscommonsense.com. Also an amazing talk show host and, of course, America's mayor. And Michael Franzese, michaelfranzese.com. Go there, become part of his crew. He's a born-again Christian. He's a pastor, and he's a former Capo Regime with the Colombo crime family. So Rudy, RICO was on the book. You helped write it, but nobody utilized it the correct way. Going in, I guess the Bonanno book certainly gave you the outline, but going in, did you already know that you're going to try to use RICO when you got the job in the Southern District?
The minute I read, there's a section in his book with four chapters, and the name of the subsection is the Commission, and in it is a chart in which he lays out the original five families, and then the succession of those five families down to, I believe, 1968. I looked at it and I said, now my job is to take it to 1981.
Right.
Or 82 or 83, whenever that was 83.
Right, 83.
But you gave me already the corporate papers. You gave me the corporate organization.
Wow.
Which it's hard sometimes to get a jury to understand this is a business of crime. Bonanno's book explained this was a business that was so highly sophisticated, they didn't want to have trouble with each other, so they set up this commission structure so that they could try as much as possible to work out their differences without killing each other. It was, in fact, a very intelligent thing to do, but it directly violated the racketeering influence corrupt organization statute, which allows you to put in all kinds of evidence you couldn't otherwise put in. So then I went to the FBI and the Justice Department, where I had been number three, and I said, please give me 20 agents. I want half of them to be counterintelligence agents, the guys who go after the communists, because they know how to break in better.
Right.
And basically, we broke into everybody's house, car. We broke into Fat Tony Salerno's social club on Pleasant Avenue. Yes. We broke into a car. We broke into...
You basically bugged the entire mob. You bugged everybody.
Yeah, I can tell you.
I didn't use... FBI agents couldn't have done that.
Now, Michael, were you aware of that?
These guys who for 30 years were doing it to the communists.
Were you guys aware that they were actually actively doing this? And after Bonanno's book and after you saw what Giuliani was going to do, was trying to do, did you guys adjust, or was there so much arrogance in the families that they said, we're not going to change, they can't get us? That's going to do it for part one of The Mayor and the Mobster. A sit-down almost 40 years in the making. Wait till you hear how this thing unfolds. Part two tomorrow, right here on The Joe Pags Show. We're back right after this.